The whole point behind the practice of Buddha Dharma is practice. See? And it isn't a question of how clever you are. See? It isn't a question of that I really understand. No, you don't. See, the old masters that I have, and they're not all old, actually, the last two books that I've been working with, and beyond that, see, but are two Dzogchen masters, and they are not old, see. And one of the delightful things for me from last Thursday, see, was you have a Dzogchen practitioner, see, I won't say a Dzogchen master. See, if that label is put on him, that's unfortunate. They shouldn't put it until he's dead. See, because nobody masters Dzogchen. Nobody masters Zen. See, in a certain sense, we're constantly refining it. The way Maizumi Roshi would explain it to me, he said, the Shakyamuni Buddha is still refining it. See, this is really quite a remarkable thing if we're fortunate enough to be here in the practice. But how many people actually commit themselves to the way? How many people are actually sick of their own story, or are they using their spiritual practice, quote, to enhance their own sense of how they think they can understand? This is what Stonelop, Rinpoche. Ponlop, yeah. They call it Dzogchen Ponlop, Rinpoche. See, and this is essentially what he was talking about also. See, and he calls them New Age gurus. See, and then if you read his commentary and go a little further, he really tries to tone that down a little bit. He's not trying to be too insulting, other than saying that they're basically a hustle. No humor there, Mooch, you see. See, but that lineage is real. Lineage is real. See, and that's what most people truly don't get. He said very clearly, lineage isn't something that you develop, see, something that you create. It's something that you receive. See, from sitting in the room with a teacher, who has sat in the room with a teacher, who has sat in the room with a teacher. See, and unfortunately here in the West, I begin to have this sense, see, that it is already, see, in the period of decay. Because what's being formed, what's being structured, what's being created here is an institution of Buddhism. And right from the beginning, this Dzogchen master, and Padmasambhava, whom for me is an amazing gift. He would have been an amazing teacher to sit with. See, the simplicity of his practice. See, be present in the now, continuously. That's his teaching. That is the highest teaching, see, of all of Buddhism. Be present continuously in the now. Do it. This is Huang Po. He's saying, we have no doctrine, we have no dogma. You have to push through the wall of duality. To push through the wall of duality, you cannot sit. Present. Do you get this? Present. See? In the now. And then you do it 24 hours a day. And at some point, you can sustain and you can move beyond the limitations of the egocentric mind. This can only be done through practice. See, and unfortunately, practice can be very difficult. And that's one of the things that I appreciate. He does talk about the difficulty. See, the difficulty, it shouldn't be difficult. It should be so simple. Why is it difficult? Russell Targ says, because you won't give up your own story. See, because you actually want to reinforce it. You want to enhance your sense of importance. See, this is where I was so lucky with Maizumi Roshi. See, he threw to me a koan very quickly, become the least grain of sand on the beach. Very few people can actualize that koan. If you can, you'll see where the doorway is that you can step through into some freedom. See, now, I was talking, I'm going to pick this up and I'm going to carry this further. See, the aspiration of Samantabhadra. This was a teaching, a book that Mujo recommended to me because I so much enjoyed, Zen liberation through seeing with naked awareness. And in the title, see, there was one of the Hanya, the Parinirvana Sutra, the Heart Sutra, there was one old Chan master who gave talks on just the title for something like 300 days. See, what kind of a grasp, what profound state where he could see the infinite subtleties of this thing. See, self-liberation. Self. You. See, liberation for yourself. Not to pump yourself up. Liberation for yourself. Through seeing with naked awareness. Through seeing. See, the Shakyamuni concept, see to see. This isn't me sitting here in an objective sense seeing the wall or Mitsuan there. But the only way it can be described is to see. And there is seeing. See, but it's not through the blindness of the dualistic seeing. Buddha goes through that. He has sutra where he just goes through it and goes through it and goes through it. And for me, we started talking about it here a few years ago. And it gets into the begats for me. And that's really tough at a certain point. I'm just not interested. See? Because ultimately, this seeing, with naked awareness, is simply the state of being. Now, in going through here, one of the things that I was struck by was that the commentaries, the original text when we had the purity, the aspiration, of Samantabhadra, you really don't need a commentary. The commentary always gets into some problems and some issues. The original message was so clean and so pure and so simple. Sit down on the cushion, face yourself, and stop following the chattering mind. Can't be any simpler. But it's almost impossible for us to do. And in this the aspiration, I'm going to take part of it, it says that all appears and exists, all of samsara and nirvana has one ground, two paths, two results. It is the display of awareness and ignorance. What is this? Is this something unusual? Something esoteric coming out of the mountains of Tibet? This aspiration of Samantabhadra. He said, all that appears and exists, all of samsara and nirvana has one ground. What is this one ground? That's what we have to see. In a way, we could say, to simplify, mind. If you are caught in your mind, this is mind. And all things come up. It manifests as samsara. It manifests as nirvana. It is the display. There's two paths. Of awareness and ignorance. The way I explained it, always in the here and the now, you're at a fork in the road. You can either, move toward the enlightened life. That's by maintaining the mindfulness, cultivating the deeper, deeper samadhi, and you are spiraling upward, into the enlightened state. It's not away from you. Or you're spiraling downward, trapped, in your delusional thinking, caught, in the world of desires, the sickness disturbance. And it becomes bleaker, more destructive. Samsara, And then you can be hopelessly lost there where you cannot hear. See, this isn't a question of Judeo-Christian purity. Get rid of that. That causes war and destruction. See, the kind of morality we're talking about here is the purity of things as they are. But do we, my teacher would always say, but do you know truly what it is? See, if I slip into my discriminating consciousness, my discriminating consciousness is always driven behind my ego. And always I will work to enhance my own sense of importance. See, watch yourself carefully. This is Maizumi Roshi's, see, his first admonition. No self-deception. If you can't begin to see your story, then you'd better do a lot of sitting and a lot of counting your breath. See, until that mind begins to slow down. He said, the ground, now we're talking, what is this basic ground? Of samsara and nirvana. See, the ground of all is uncomposed and inexpressible, self-arisen expanse. See, what is this? See, it isn't something that's made up. See? See? It is without the name, or without, see, when this originally comes, I'm sorry, my eyes again. The ground of all is uncomposed, an inexpressible, self-arisen expanse, without the names samsara and nirvana. Samsara and nirvana come from where? The egocentric mind. See, making we're talking about nirvana. And we have people who can go on and on and on and on ad infinitum about nirvana. See, you cannot, see, reach the state of nirvana, see, through your discriminating consciousness. Samsara, see, is the discriminating egocentric consciousness. He goes on to say this. He said, this basic ground, this primordial being, see, and he might not even like that, but Roshi could defend it, and I would defend it. See, it is no, if it is known, if you actually can see this, Buddhahood is attained. That's simple. Buddhahood is attained. Means that when I look out here, there is no separation. See, there is no mediating egocentric thought. There is no attempt to understand. You can't understand this. You can only be. And the basic ground of this is compassion. The Chan masters will say, then the paramitas, the perfection is there. You don't have to do anything else if you can do it. See, but for the majority of us, not that simple. Not knowing it, see, it brings, not knowing it, the beings there wander in samsara. See, you wander, if you don't know it, no matter what you do, you twist and turn in samsara. Then, because this is a prayer, and Samantabhadra is working for all of us, he said, may all beings of the three realms know the inexpressible ground. Know. He doesn't say understand, because it can't be understood. But it can be known. See, known through the actualization of your practice. See? Basically, samsara is experiencing phenomena through ego changing. I should have brought my other glasses, I'm having real trouble. Through ego clinging. Essentially, see, samsara is simply you clinging to your ego. And this is one of the things I think he was critical of in the New Age, with New Age gurus. See, take Buddhism out of Buddhism. Come in and I can, in 3 hours, you can experience what it took a Chan master 20, 30, 40 years. ridiculous. See, and you don't need teachers. Just sit around. You do. I don't talk much about it. He really presses it. Dogen Zenji presses it, see. Why? If you won't test yourself, what do? You continuously recycle, reinforce your own delusional thoughts. You're binding yourself tighter and tighter in a very rigid world. And it doesn't stay static. You are either unfolding toward the light or you are sinking into the despair of pain and suffering of samsara. When you experience anything through ego clinging, that's the experience of samsara. It's as simple. Samsara is nothing more than that. Ego clinging. See, and ego clinging sets up what? It sets up, in the three poisons, it sets up ignorance. See, ignorance is this, and now you've heard me, ignorance is this experience of separation. I am separate from all of this. And that gives rise to my greed and to my anger. And he says, nirvana is the absence. And now this, by the way, isn't the commentary. This is the actual teaching. His commentary comes later. See, nirvana is the absence of suffering and pain. See, nirvana is the absence of suffering and pain. Nirvana is the experience of the basic nature of mind. What is the basic nature of mind? See, I can throw out some words, and people will take those words and they'll integrate them into, you know, an understanding, and then they will project that out as if that's Buddha Dharma. That's not Buddha Dharma. That is your dualistic, egocentric understanding. And that is always, see, coming from the realm of samsara, based upon your belief system. What you can hear, see, I tried to talk about these experiences, see, about my own hearing and how I was hearing diametrically opposed to what was actually being said. Again, I don't know how this message is being received. Most people will sit here and not believe that I'm just simply telling you about an experience. See, most of you will have it colored, see, and shaped and twisted by your own belief system. See, again, here, giving this talk to yourself. And I bring up the same things over and over again, hoping a light bulb will go off. See, do you really believe that you are hearing exactly what my intention is? What my meaning is? See, if you don't see that you're supplying your interpretation to the words, see, and you will then make an assessment as to what you think my emotions were, my feelings were. You can only experience your own. See, and there is the realm of duality. And that realm, that is the realm of separation. And when that separation is pronounced deeper and deeper, my God, do you look at the world around you? The world of samsara, the pain, the suffering, perpetual war, the exploitation of the environment. This crazy samsara, see, as Tom Campbell would say, can burn itself up in high entropy. Craziness. And what did he, as a physicist, say? We move to low entropy. And it's a funny thing, for me at least, the best teachers of Buddha Dharma at this point are some of the physicists. They understand it the best. They don't put on it layers and tiers of flashy dogma and doctrine. See, we have to be very careful about that because it becomes a distortion. Lama Wangdor, see, I resonate to Dzogchen. I resonate to it. He was one of the most powerful and profound experiences that I've ever had, and it was 4 or 5 days. See, that kind of a connection, see, Tibetans will talk about it. See, and in Chan, the same kind of thing. See, as you wander, as you test. See, Again, one of the most amazing kind of experiences. I don't know whether anybody can grasp this, of when I watched Soko, when we first saw him walking up this dirt path. See, running toward him. See if you can get this. Running toward him. She had never seen a Dzogchen master before. She, as far as I knew nothing about Dzogchen. Running toward him and then leaping out. You have to see this. Mujo has probably seen it. I mean, they don't kneel. I mean, she stretched out. Boy, I couldn't believe it. Hit the ground. Boom. See, now, and I had the vivid of his face. Boom. See, let me tell you what my experience of this was. Her amazing joy, not at this level. You can't see the movement of Dharma. This was her teacher. See, and her joy, her profound respect, see, was manifest in a way that nobody standing around there could grasp. How could Soko do that? And when you looked at him, there was just this beautiful openness. See, and was there pomp and ceremony? He was down in the dirt with her, see, raising her up and brushing her off. Teacher meeting student. See, and you and I will never know at what level that communication took place. And perhaps what amazing joy was experienced. See, there are dimensions upon dimensions. And it's an interesting thing to me when I was reading this commentary, I started thinking this guy was listening to our talks because he talks about a skyscraper and not getting off the elevator. Did you see that? Until you get to the penthouse. The only place I'd ever heard of that before was when Roshi gave me that instruction. Don't get off on any of these lower floors. Go to the penthouse because you then own the building. And Roshi's comment to me was, then play wherever you want to play. Nirvana is the absence of suffering and pain. Nirvana is the experience of the basic nature of mind. That's you. See? Which has the quality of freedom, see, and spaciousness, as well as the experience of basic goodness. This is Chan. The perfections, the paramitas, are instantly perfected. It isn't a long process. However, in our karmic needs, some of us have to go through purification, and then we have the different vehicles. But here, we're talking about the penthouse. Some of us need the purification. Some of us need to go through those things. Most of us do. Most of us start by trying to count the breath and finding that that isn't the easiest thing. We will make all kinds of excuses to avoid. See, we'll say, it's easier if I do it that way. Or it's, and watch yourself. See, as soon as the egocentric mind becomes bored, you're going to look for something that is more entertaining. See, and it's still a delaying tactic. See, it's still your unwillingness, see, to enter into a state of non-distracted awareness, into a state of being present and sustain it. Good luck with that. See, I'm practicing in my 45th year now, and Roshi said at 45 he thought he was starting to sit Shikantaza. I think I'm going to have to go to 55 or 60. See, not such an easy thing. Know that those who receive, here we are. The basic goodness, see, it is the experience of egolessness, which is seeing things as they are. You can't sit down and from your discriminating consciousness, see, project out, see, because all you're projecting out is the dualistic world, and it will always mislead. And he talks about that also. And he gets into a very elaborate in his commentaries. And at this point, and watching it, see, through some of the things, I can begin to see how the commentaries end up sort of misleading us. See, the fact is where we are here, see, all of these subtle steps along the way, we don't need to be concerned with those. What we need to be concerned with, see, is what is my practice? If it's counting my breath, I simply count my breath. If it's following my breath, I simply follow my breath. See, following the breath, what an amazing thing. Probably more people have had breakthroughs with their breathing. Trungpa Rinpoche used to say, breathing, the breathing is the doorway. The breathing is the doorway. Now we're going to look, this is the beginning, see, of this aspiration. See, and it was an interesting thing to me, and I got sidetracked a little bit. But Lama Wangdor coming up to that Ojai Foundation, seeing Soko's experience with him was quite remarkable. But for me, the remarkable kind of an experience, because I resonate to Dzogchen. I resonate to it. See? And when the writer, this friend of mine up there, talked about Dzogchen, I didn't even know what it was. And that a friend of his who was, it's a woman, who's quite high in the Tibetan practice, called him and told him that, as she described it, this is the real deal. See if you can get him to come up, Michael. See? And we called. How many of us? 5-6 yogis. See, on a mountain. He referred to us as yogis on a mountain, and we were. It's not a big mountain, but it is a little mountain. And you had some yogis. We were all yogis to him. See? And he said, numbers don't matter. If yogis want to hear the teaching, the true teacher has to go. And it had nothing to do with profit. See? He wasn't expounding the Dharma in front of a multitude. See, he was walking up a dirt path. And let me tell you what part of it was. There was a student in trouble on that mountain. A student in serious trouble. That student had broken from a training, see, with his own teacher, with his root teacher, had broken and was sitting there. And in this most amazing field of Buddha Dharma, see, a messenger was sent out. See, or a first aid, a medic. See, and he walks in with total humility. His Zazen skirt, I don't know what they call it. You know, see, a polo shirt. I think she said he had 2 polo shirts. He had some slip-on kind of shoes. 2 pairs of socks, see, and his acacia, which he used. I guess they sleep under it and everything, see, and his acacia. And Lena said to me, and he doesn't wear underwear, so that's the whole thing. That's what he came of. And I was telling Mujo, the other Tibetans I'd been around, they don't even take their own shoes off. And then all of this pomp and this is what walked in there. And I knew that this is something very special coming up that path. And he immediately said that he wanted to meet with me each morning in the kiva. So it was me, Lena, and Lama Wangdor in the dark with a fire going. I don't know if you can see the wonder. See, and he gave me a teaching about how you work with a teacher. Mujo and I were talking. We were talking about the man who does the commentary on this. See, and Mujo was saying he is tremendously connected to the teacher. See, and this is an important thing. Absolutely, see. And this was his teaching to me. And some of you have seen it. I've said it over and again. He did this. And there's a reason. See, I won't go into it. There's a reason. The flames of samsara. You see the circle? Think about our government. Think about our world. Is that out there? The flames of samsara. See? He said, leave the teacher's karma alone. Go to the heart. And that was just what he did. Go to the heart and take the teacher's heart of the teaching. And he knew that my teacher, see, was the living embodiment of the true Dharma because of whatever he saw with me. This is what he told me. See, his whole focus. Now there's interesting things along with this. See, he gave me something that I could take, it looked like incense. I think Mojo knows what this is, like incense, and he handed it to me, see, and he said, you can either, and he gave me an envelope, you can either burn this as incense or you can eat it. See, now think about how many of you would take something that somebody out of Nepal. See, what about hygiene? See, and what about all of this stuff? See, oh my God, and eat that? He gave you an option, or burn it as incense. I ate it. See, because where I was willing to practice at that level. See, then he gave me a picture. See, and I put the picture in my altar. See, and that picture disappeared. That's gone. It was there for whatever length of time I needed it, and that's not an uncommon thing, that the teacher gives a picture. Not uncommon. See, his focus was to get a crazy monk off this mountain and send him up to a bigger mountain. And he did that in 4 or 5 days. And he untied the knots that I had in my head. So I have a profound respect. There is no inconsistency with me talking about these great teachings. And what a refreshing thing to read commentaries in the here and now, at this particular time, when it appears to me, with everything that I've seen and known, that the Dharma is dead. See? Dead. Rigid, institutionalized stuff. See? Unbelievable. The Dzogchen men say, Samadhi. Dogen Zenji and the Shakyamuni Buddha say, Samadhi. And it's an interesting thing. There doesn't seem to be any understanding of Samadhi. See, here in North America. Which means, essentially, that if the Dzogchen men don't hold it up, it will die. And it will tumble, see. But someplace the sprout comes up again. So don't waste time. Free ourselves here now. And if not now, when can it be done?